This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good Thursday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live on The Fan. It's March 6th, 2025, just after 2 o'clock from our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard over by Nats Park. Much appreciate everybody making the show part of your day. We got a good one planned. We're giving away tickets to the Summer of Loud tour out at Jiffy Lube at 4 o'clock today. Make sure you are listening. Ahead of the Beltway Blitz. Danny, what's up?
It was fun to see Alex Ovechkin's little trick last night. He's got this one trick that he does. It's where he scores goals better than anybody else in the history of the game. Walking down Gretzky, please and thank you. It was nice to get a W in that one of the most famous arenas in the world, up there in that barn. I don't want to see the Rangers in the postseason, by the way. They scare me. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to scare.
I guess that's a good point.
At this point, because the Caps will be heavily favored. They're probably going to be the one seed in the conference. A 1-8 matchup's always ominous. I don't know that there's a matchup right now on paper that I go, looking forward to that one. That's a sweep. But yes, the Rangers are particularly scary because Igor Shesterkin, their goaltender, who you saw make some splendid saves last night, robbed Ovi with his glove a couple times. He might be the best goaltender on the planet. And when he gets rolling and get going, he isn't having the best season. Connor Hellebuck is. Even in the Eastern Conference, Logan Thompson is too. Has been marvelous. But Shesterkin, if he was to get hot in a playoff series, could take it away from you just by standing on his head. So, yeah, they'd be scary for that reason. And they've played the Caps tough. You know, certainly last night, they came back and took a 2-1 lead for much of that game. The Capitals got the late Ovi goal, pushed the game to overtime, and then got the winner from Tom Wilson. I always love when Tom Wilson at Madison Square Garden makes Rangers fans unhappy. And by sending them to the exits with a loss that qualifies, let's not forget that it was Tom Wilson against all the Rangers going back a few years ago after they got really mad when he basically slammed one of their best players, Artemi Panarin, to the ice, and they put out the statement that it was this awful thing that he had done and this major issue that they took with him and basically asking for his suspension. Ever since then, he's just been a thorn in their side, and he lives rent-free in their heads. But last night, to score the winner against the Rangers,
you just
felt
hate
good.
That for them, don't you? Like those fans that didn't want to see that happen, and then it did. Oh, and they had to watch it. Oh.
I think the quote, by the way, back then was horrifying act of violence.
That's what it was. Great pull by you.
And then everyone got fired shortly after Tom Wilson beat up all the Rangers.
The horrifying act of violence led to horrifying acts of firing.
Right. He just got everybody booted from the organization. But let's talk Ovi for a second. So last night, goal number 32 on the season. He's got 6 in his last 6 games. He's heating up as he's getting closer here. This is absolutely happening. It is not a drill. Goal number 885 last night. And what I love about this is that these are important goals. It looked 2 years ago, even last year when they were scratching and clawing at this point to try to fight their way into the back end of the playoffs, it looked like Ovi was going to be hunting down Gretzky for a mediocre team and middling in the Eastern Conference that may or may not be a playoff team. And with their brilliant offseason and the acquisitions they've made and the coaching staff led by Spencer Carberry having been one of the best in the sport the last couple of years, they've turned themselves into one of the best teams in the league. And so Ovi, on his way to 40-plus goals, is doing it for a team that needs those goals in huge games and in big moments. I mean, he's got a ton. In fact, about half of his 32 goals this year, I think, 16 of them, have come in the third period this season. Like, he scores massive game-tying, game-winning, lead-taking goals. And that was the case again last night with them down one against a division rival.
Second unit here. Mangiapane, McMichael, Frank, Chychrun, Ovechkin. And loose for Mangiapane off the draw. Loose there, and Ovechkin scores! Alex Ovechkin picks it up on the far side of the goal crease. That's goal number 8, 85, 9:32 to go. He is 10 away from passing Gretzky, and the Capitals have tied it here in New York.
20 games left for the Capitals.
Mm-mm-mm.
Ovi has 32 goals in 46 games played this season because of his injury. So if you do some quick math, Danny, he's averaging about 0.7 goals per game. If he averages a half goal per game, he falls off the rest of the way, he will still pass Gretzky.
Just stupid. And last night showed that, again, he's not the bull in a china shop that he was, but you still saw everything on display on that goal. Let me go into it for a second. The ability to drive through and be stronger than the opponent, right? Somebody's trying to hold him up, and he's got that, I'm going to where I'd like to go, please and thank you. You're welcome to come along for the ride, but I'll be getting to this spot. Thank you very much. Then the dexterity to do a fine motor skill while you're still driving, right? While you're tightening up and pushing as hard as you possibly can to move yourself into position, then the fine motor skill, but also the strength to break through a couple different, you know, stick lifts and checks and things that are happening right there to deter the progress of his stick through the puck. And he's got enough touch on it to put it in the exact right spot. There it is in a nutshell. The reason he's going to pass Wayne Gretzky for the most goals ever scored in this league. All in one play. And I know it wasn't the beautiful, tic-tac-toe snipe from the office or one of the classic goals that's going to go on the career highlight reel when you look back, you know, when they do that video in 15 years when he comes back to Capital One Arena and it's like, let's remember Ovechkin's goals. You'll have the one on his back and this snipe and that shot and this, you know, bullet pass to goalie. But that, to me, is how he's still doing this. It's not always going to be the pretty one. It's not always going to be the tic-tac-toe or the beautiful skating, taking on a defender, etc. This is how you morph and change and turn yourself from one player into a brand new player almost that's getting these gritty, grimy, necessary goals for your team to tie a hockey game when you're in a playoff race. It's remarkable.
The heat map has changed for him.
Yeah.
You know, he gets the goals from in front. He gets ricochets and redirects with his stick. He also bangs home rebounds. They move him around on the power play way more right now this year than they ever have, certainly over the last 10 or 12 years in terms of him lining up at the point and taking some shots centered up from the cage, not just standing in his traditional office, to your point. But the Caps now winners of two straight thanks to extra time, the shootout, and then the overtime win in their last two contests. What's interesting is, remember they'd lost three in a row?
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying, oh, they're taking on water, they're hitting a little bit of a skid. Do you realize over the last 10 games played for every team in the Metro Division, nobody's gained ground on them? They're 6-3-1 in that time. There's not a single team in the Metro that has been better during those 10 games than the Capitals. So nobody's gained. They're still 12 points up on the second team in the division, Carolina, and 14 up on the next team down, the Devils. They're basically running away with the Metro Division. They are 9 points up on anybody in the Eastern Conference right now. And after last night, they have the most points in the NHL, tied with the Winnipeg Jets. So if you want to get bothered by the three straight losses, you could do that. Those are the dog days. Those types of things are going to happen when you're playing with your food. And you just don't have a lot on the line in some of these games with the season now 20 games from expiration. But they're tied for the best team in the NHL right now as they barrel down the stretch. By the way, before we move on to the Commanders, I want to say really quickly, the NHL trade deadline is tomorrow. 3:00 Eastern. So we're just under 25 hours away from the deadline. I do not want them to do anything significant. I love this dressing room. I think this is as good a group as they have had in a long, long time. My bell's missing, so I can't say the word.
There's a bell right here. Hold on. Where I got you. It's coming to slide it across.
Just throw it to me. The Brotherhood is exactly where it needs to be at this moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to cost anybody minutes to bring someone in here and upset the chemistry that they have. If there's a place that they could make a move, the only thing that I would sign off on is a one-for-one Lars Eller, their current third-line center and former Stanley Cup champion. They sent him to Pittsburgh, and he came back here. Now he's with the Capitals again. You could take him off of the third line, acquire a third-line center in a deal where you just give up draft picks, put that player in with Mangiapane and Ethan Frank, and Ethan Frank will become Ryan Leonard, their best prospect at Boston College, who's going to be their starter on the third line in the playoffs, in my opinion, because that line is giving them next to nothing at this moment. It's not like it's every shift is bad, but in terms of points and production,
you're not getting much.
Mangiapane, a $5 million player, has been a little bit disappointing here of late. They need to get more out of him. I think you could probably do better on the trade market than Eller if you wanted to. But even that is a little bit of a gamble to tweak anything about this roster. But I would be okay with that. Otherwise, I'm not really that interested. I like Ovechkin, Strome, and Protas as a top line. I think they're excellent. I love their second line. It's their best line. McMichael, Dubois, Wilson. And by the way, PL Dubois has been unbelievable. What a move that was. They were right. Everyone else was wrong. He is so damn good defensively. He should be in the conversation as the best defensive forward. They line him up against the other top team's best player night in and night out and ask him to go to work. And then the fourth line's terrific. Right now they've got Taylor Radish playing up on the third line to try to get more. But normally that's Duhaime, Dowd, and Radish. And that line is excellent. It's actually their third line. Everyone says they need a third line center, as I'm saying. Really, Dowd's their third line center, and they use that line thusly. But I will allow for one Sminer move.
Sminer. Super minor. That's how you combine the two.
Small and minor.
Yeah,
very
small and minor. Sminer.
I'm only accepting one Sminer move from Brian McClellan and company. But I just love this group. And by the way, last night, Charlie Lindgren, fantastic. That's your backup goalie.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal.
You bet
goalies basically steal games with big saves back-to-back nights.
What was the name of that the Orioles player that took over for Cal Ripken at third base? Ryan?
Sminer.
Sminer. That's what I was trying to think of.
Are you looking for Ryan Sminer?
Ryan Sminer. Dunk contest winner, Miami Heat, nicknamed Baby Jordan, Harold
Sminer.
Sminer.
If you're not in the major leagues, where do you play?
Sminers?
I think you are.
The Sminers, right?
Yeah. Low A, high A, double A,
rookie
or triple
ball,
A.
Sminers, yep.
Sminer League Baseball. Mm-hmm.
Former Braves pitcher, Mike.
Sminer, went Sminer. To Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's right.
Top five
mm-hmm,
pick.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there a team mascot? I'm trying to think, remember, it's not like UNC Charlotte. It's like an aggregator, not an aggregator. What's the one I'm looking at? Like an agricultural school.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're looking to, like, you're digging in the earth. You are, like, what's
would you be
thing?
Smining?
Yes. Because you're a Sminer.
You're the Sminers.
The Sminers.
That actually makes a lot mm-hmm. of sense. One very Sminer move is what I will accept.
But Sminer.
Is that crazy to you?
No.
I mean, why? This washing machine is cleaning clothes beautifully. Do we really need to take out the wrench?
Is there any? I'm devil's advocate because I'm agreeing with you. I'm going to triple stamp your rubber stamp, Lloyd. Is there anything to say with? Anything to say with? Is there anything to the idea that some of the analytics aren't as kind to them as truly and honest to goodness the best team in the NHL? They've been getting away with some stuff, and they're not playing their best hockey right now. Right? They're not playing as well as they were a month ago, which is natural, normal. That happens.
But expected, I would say.
Is there anything to the idea they might actually need an injection of life? To get through a playoff series?
I think the injection of life is the
is
stretch.
Is Leonard?
Well, no, is the stretch in the playoffs. You know, that's your injection of life. Right now you have 20 games left, and how much of the tank are you going to empty when you've got a 12-point lead? So you're doing a little mixing and matching. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're kind of seeing it with the coaching staff and the players. Now, I will say there's a couple too many careless moments. Last night they had their 11th.
It's so many.
11th too many men on the ice penalty. And it was kind of just a... I hate to say lazy, but a moment where, get off the ice, Ferravari. What are you doing? And you could see, I mean, Carbs does not get that upset on the bench.
He was
apoplectic, mm-hmm. and he should have been. Within reason, I totally get that. But, like, defensively, as an example, I would not do anything. Sandin and Carlson, working well together. Ferravari and Roy, awesome pair. Chychrun and Riemsdyk, Van Riemsdyk,
yep,
tremendous. I'm not touching that. So you've got to find to me where you're going to get better without anyone in the room getting bothered. Remember when we were talking to Drew Storen and Tyler Clippard years ago?
Yeah.
About the Papelbon trade, where they go get Papelbon and a bunch of roles shift. And they didn't really boot anybody that mattered from the bullpen, but everybody's job changed when they felt like they were doing pretty well, and it really ruined the bullpen and the chemistry in the clubhouse a little bit, as we would see
Why? What happened? A Sminer incident.
If choking a player in your dugout is Sminer, that was extremely Sminer.
That was very Sminer.
But yeah, can't wait for another one. Can't wait to watch the Caps again. Ovi now 10 from surpassing and 9 from tying Wayne Gretzky. Got Commanders news today. Kicker Zane Gonzalez has been re-signed. I have been perturbed by how little action and activity we've seen from them signing their own guys. It's very strange. A lot of teams are starting to get this done, and I'm sure they will. But they have 28 free agents.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought by now 3, 4, 5, 6 of the guys that are pretty easy to get done, you would have already had these deals for. But Zane Gonzalez is not going to make a lot of money. I think this is smart to bring him back to compete at training camp. But he was 5 of 7 in the regular season. He was 1 of 2 in the playoffs. And his only one that he made was a game winner against the Tampa Bay Bucks that hit an upright on the way in. The doink to beat Tampa. If that ball is 4 more inches, 3 more inches, 2 more inches, I don't know, maybe 1 more inch to the right, he's not re-signing here today.
Mm-mm.
Because he misses that kick and they probably get eliminated right then and there. But the doink went in. Zane Gonzalez is still a Commander. And after making 19 extra points without missing, and only missing 3 field goals in his 9 total games, he will have a chance to compete in training camp.
From 37 to send Washington to the Final 8. The Washington Commanders off the upright, and it is in! They doink their way to the divisional round!
God, that call is so good. That call is what Mike Tirico, like, he doesn't need a sizzle reel, like some young broadcaster trying to get a job.
Right,
at this
up-and-comer named Tirico just sent me a demo.
But in a world where Mike Tirico has a website that he sends people to, I want that call on that reel.
So good.
It's just fantastic.
I think back to my emotions. There was a lot happening in a very short amount of time. Ball meets foot, it looked good, and then it starts drifting right, and I couldn't even get the actual words out of my mouth, but the string of curse words. It was like in A Christmas Story when all the screws came off and the kid said the dirtiest word that you can possibly say. But it was a foul-mouthed explosion in my brain as that thing starts drifting right, that he just missed it, that he ruined everything. Oh, no, it's fine. It's all good. It went in. The euphoria that was preceded by unbridled anger and frustration.
Look, I'm happy for Zane Gonzalez. Not only that the kick went in, because I'm happy for me.
Yeah.
But I'm also happy for Zane Gonzalez that he has a chance to be the kicker here long term. But he has bounced all over the place, and I think for pretty good reason, right? I mean, last year, his kickoff touchback percentage was about 30%. Now, for his career, it's actually 55%. So some of that was by design, I would imagine. But they didn't have him kick long field goals. He attempted 150-plus yarder in the regular season. Some of that is because they're a fourth and go for it team.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think they just don't necessarily
not a lot of confidence in that,
trust
yeah.
the leg per se, and I need a big leg kicker at this point. All I can say is when he lines up to kick a field goal, I don't have the confidence that I want. It might be a me problem. You know, you sit down with the girl and you say, it's not you, it's me. It might be that I know you were signed off the street in the middle of the season. So I just don't view you like I would if a team brought you in for 3 years and $15 million or something. Maybe I'm holding that against him. But when he lines up for a kick outside of 44 yards or something, I am nervous. And the doink did not help me. I think his story's great. He has OCD. He's obsessive compulsive disorder. Mm-hmm. And because of that on the sideline, he is very twitchy, and he's rubbing his head, and he's taking his shoe on and off, and he's touching the bench 14 times, and he's doing all these things like Jack Nicholson in
As Good As It Gets.
And you know, he's eating at the same place, and Helen Hunt is his waitress. And, like, I think this is an awesome thing that he is bringing awareness to that disorder and that he is thriving. That those are all good things. All I know, Danny, is while I'm rooting for him because of that, when he's lining up to kick a game-winning field goal in week one from 51 yards, I don't have high confidence. And that is why I would like to do better. Resign him, no problem. Bring him back to camp. Let's do it. I'm looking for someone who's been around the league for 10 years making big kicks.
Yeah, with you on that. I mean, if they'd signed him to Brandon McManus money, then I'd go, what are we doing? This is non-committal type money. This is a...
Have we seen the figure?
You're a placeholder now. I thought we did. I thought it was just over $1 million. Maybe I'm wrong.
I could have sworn
I saw it.
Javala's got it, apparently, so we can pull it up.
Yeah, 1 year, 1.17.
Great. No problem.
Minimum
That's also
deal.
Cuttable.
Yeah, that's my point, is that there's nothing that says that that's your kicker automatically. Now, he might win the job. He might show up and have had a great offseason and, you know, has added a couple yards to both touchback ability and field goal kicks. Totally fine. He can win the job for me. But my point is, there is nothing about that that says, all right, we're done looking. That's it. We've solved it. On to the next bit of business. And I'm with you, by the way, just as a quick overarching note. I would have thought there'd be a few more signings announced here now. I'm not complaining, just it's interesting to me. I'm wondering how many guys are out looking, saying maybe I'll be able to cash in based on what I did here. Just something to think about.
Clary, do you have the ability to blur anything out on the camera or no? I'm wondering if you guys have access to like a bar where you could blur out if someone was like,
no,
if I
don't.
Was to rip off my shirt, my chest. Because Danny's wearing a Colonial shirt.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're no longer the Colonials for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that on YouTube today. Do you feel good about putting that video out there?
I feel just fine.
Your face in the same shot as that?
Yeah.
That's like, you know what pic floating around with your face in it?
It is?
I think so.
It's the same as one
you
of those?
You and the Colonials? Is that what you want to be?
That's what it was.
But you're a revolutionary now.
I'm not. I never was. I never played for them.
It's like Daryl Green. He's a Commander now.
But he never was.
But he's Mr. Commander, right?
No, can't be.
Okay. So you're Mr. Colonial.
That's probably a little bit self-aggrandizing. I don't know that I'd be able to say I'm Mr. I mean, they're some pretty good players over the years.
Would you like a record book for the Colonials to be separated from a record book from the Revolutionaries so that you're higher up in the record books for all time?
Oh, yeah. I want to be higher up.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's do an era separation or something like that. We're like one, we find out that everybody before 98, 99 had like an apostrophe in the name. So like they don't count either.
Even better.
Yeah. Now I'm like number one, number two in a lot of stuff. Let's do that.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Are you okay with kicking the tires on Joey Bosa? Is that something you'd be interested in? His play has fallen off the last couple years. Longtime injury history guy, but ton of talent. We'll get into Bosa being available on the edge next on The Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Darrell Williams, the running back, needs 7 for the first. They're in on Mahomes, and he's taken down. Bosa in on the sack, along with Tranquil, who made the stop on the previous play.
CBS's call of Chargers football. That was Jim Nance on a Joey Bosa sack. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, on the Fan. I saw a sports stat today that was mind-blowing and making me feel old. And I will present it to you next segment, but I actually want to challenge you guys. I think this could be fun. I want everybody to come up with one sports item to try to make us feel as old as possible to see if you can top mine. So in other words, I'll just give you an example. Like, my favorite Redskins team ever was the 1999 team. That was 26 years ago. And I go, oh my God, I'm 100 years old. Or like, you're like, oh, the Nats won the World Series in 2019. It's been 6 years. Just how much time has flown. I think my thing that I'm going to tell you is one of those like, oh my God, where did the time go? But everyone come up with one of those.
Okay.
Who can make us feel the oldest? We'll do that next segment right off the top when we come back in on G&D. But let's get to Joey Bosa. The Chargers are releasing the defensive end. I am not interested in Joey Bosa. I will get ahead of this right here and right now, but I do want to open up the phones with you, Danny, at 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are yours if you want to hop in. They need an edge. He plays that position, and he's talented. So I won't say that they should have no interest if the price is right, but I would be very limited in my interest. He turns 30 in July, and he's entering year 10 of his NFL career. He cannot stay healthy. Full stop, this is not a, he gets injured some. He just can't. He has played 16 games, and I'm choosing that because for much of his career, that's a full season.
Mm-hmm.
Twice in the last 7 years.
Seven.
He had 7 or more sacks in 5 of his first 6 seasons, and he had some big double-digit sack seasons. Now, he's never had Nick Bosa seasons where he went for, you know, 15, 17, anything like that. There was a time where he was considered the better Bosa. That time lasted a very, very short time in the NFL. But over the last 3 years, he hasn't even gotten to 7 sacks. Some of that is health. Some of that is performance. So the production is down. The injuries are piling up. He is getting older. This is the kind of guy to me that if you were going to bring him in, it would be for a rotational role where you feel like he could give you something and also be a great leader and help make your young defensive end that you're drafting better or something like that. I just don't know if the stars align with the money for Joey Bosa and that role. But it's got to be acknowledged that he played for Anthony Lynn for 4 years when he was the head coach with the Chargers. He's now the running backs coach in Washington. And this organization, since Adam Peters got here, has been first team reuniting with guys they used to work with.
For sure. And the name is still a recognizable name, right? Well, you're talking about a guy that for a while, when healthy, again, when was that? But it's 10 and a half, 12 and a half, 11 and a half, 10 and a half sacks like clockwork. When he played enough games, 14, 15, 16 games as it was, he was really, really good. And you're always going to be featured. The name matters. His brother's excellent as well, although he's dropped off a little bit since signing his deal. But you see the point. I have very, very little interest. Like, it would have to be something that he would never accept. I'd go, hey, man, you're my new Cleveland Farrell. Do you want to do that? I can't imagine he would want to. Like, you're part of a rotation. I'll do my best to keep you healthy. You're in 25, 30% of snaps with some upside potentially to maybe, if you're healthy enough, you get after the passer a little bit. I cannot imagine he would accept that. I think someone might pay him on the reputation, but to me, the skill set's diminished. The constant injury, I cannot depend on him. So I'm not interested.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if he had a 10-sack season again. You know, this year and next year, if he combined for 19, 20, 21 sacks or something. I guess I'd be a little bit surprised. But
I'd be surprised.
I wouldn't be stunned by that because there's still talent. He's just got to stay on the field. But let someone else take that risk. I mean, there's only so much ammunition for me in the tank of aging veterans that I'm willing to roll the dice on getting a couple more years out of. I don't want to be majoring in that. I'd like to be minoring in that. And they've mostly majored in that in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, whether they majored or not, it's been a big part of how they've operated going back to last year and now early on with their one big splash with Debo. They're off to that kind of start this time around. Let's go to Shane in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Your thoughts on Joey Bosa. Shane, you're on the fan. What's up, buddy? You will get nothing.
Shane.
And you will like it. 800-636-1067 is the number. Should they be out of the older player game at this point, and where do you draw the line there? He's not 32 or 33. He's 29 turning 30. But I just feel like there's so much wear and tear that I grade him as old 30, not young 30.
Very well said. Quick sidebar, Pro Bowler last year, by the way, despite five sacks. Tell me more about how much Pro Bowl voting matters.
Yeah, that's just not a thing for me anymore.
Because 99 people didn't go, and he was like, okay, I guess I'm a Pro Bowler. I don't know. Whatever.
Like, point. Joey Bosa. You still have his number, right, Frank?
He's Joey, like, you want to come to the Pro Bowl?
Who's he play for again? Is it still the Chargers, or does he play somewhere else?
Like, is it San Diego?
No, he was there this year. He only played a few games, but he had a few sacks. All right, we'll call him. Yeah, Joey said he's in to play some tag.
Congrats on the Pro Bowl. Yeah, so I am not as hard and fast as you are. I totally understand the pathology. I would generally like to major in young, sustainable, quality talent that's developing with you, that to keep my window open, etc. I just don't think that's possible right now. Let me rephrase. Now, I don't want to say it's not possible. I think because of how bare the cupboard was from this incompetent Rivera player acquisition regime, they just don't have second rounders that are on the roster. First rounders aren't on the roster. Third rounders are barely here. Like, their best players were all guys they inherited pretty much. There's a couple of wins, not to over-extreme about it, but guys like Sam Cosmi, Quan Martin really developed. It's all getting better. But point is, there's just so little leftover talent that you got to acquire it, and you got a window right now. So I generally would go, can we please stop majoring in 32-year-olds on, you know, that their best days are behind them or otherwise? But I'm also going, I would like to stop majoring in that, but my window is right now. So if I can get talent, I might have to break some rules.
I just think, and the Caps do this actually really, really well, you can have a window that's right now, and you can still be adding pieces that help you in the long run. And if you don't satisfy both of those requirements, you're not a fit for the Capitals, right? Like when they make a big move, like for PL Dubois as an example, they wanted someone that helped turn them around this season, but that they had for the next 5 years.
But was also
as well.
26. Yeah.
And same thing this offseason, you know, coming up. They're not going to go out and just get a 1 year deal player and go year to year and kick the can down the road. They're trying to build something long term while also winning now. And I know that that's a tough needle to thread, so to speak, every single year, but they do it. And it's what I'd like to see Washington try to do. Last offseason, it was a lot of 1 year contracts. That gets you to a point where you have 28 free agents and you're right back at it again this year. Let's go to Shane in D.C. What's up?
What's going on, Commander? How y'all doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, look, here's the thing. Absolutely no to the hell's no on Joey Bosa. Absolutely not. I mean, like you said, he's early 30s, and I mean 30, but he's beat up. You got to go through the draft. This is not the old Redskins / Commanders, if you will. We don't need to just sign big names because they had a great couple of years in the league. No, I don't want to do that. You can build through the draft. We got edge rushers out there. As a matter of fact, there's a guy by the name of James Pierce Jr.
Tennessee.
That just bought to us at the University of Tennessee. Hey, look, you can say what you want. I know you guys, I'm a Tennessee, but look at him.
Oh, he's awesome, dude.
He's a game changer. And he could be there for us. If not, you move up in a draft for a player like that. But, no, we don't need to go back to like we were doing the Bruce Smith days and just be signing guys just because what they did 3 years ago. Because look what his production does in the last 3 years. They've declined tremendously because of injuries. He's not his brother. His brother's better. Now, if you can get him for hardly nothing on like a 2-year deal coming off as a depth, which is great when we need depth anyway,
of course.
Yeah, I would say something like that.
I'll say to you what I said to Danny yesterday, Shane. I was kind of poking fun because Danny, he'll always say, I have limited interest if you can get him for next to nothing. Well, no kidding. That's not. If I could buy the $800,000 house for $400,000, I have limited interest on every house too. But when we talk about these things, we're talking about at the market value. Are you interested? You know, that's the better way to have the conversation. And his market value for me results in me being out. I'm just not going to keep getting older. 14 teams made the playoffs last year in the NFL. 14 teams. Care to guess where Washington ranked in terms of team age among them?
Among the oldest, probably.
14th. They were the oldest team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Packers' average age was 25 years, 9 months, and 6 days. Washington was 28 years, 1 month, and 2 days. The Vikings and the Steelers were the other oldest teams. Teams like Green Bay, Denver, L.A., Tampa, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Texans, all 27 and younger in that regard. So I'm not pretending like they're ancient, and I certainly love what Adam Peters has done since he got here. But if we're discussing paradigm and how they should be viewing this and how they should go about building this whole thing, if I'm signing a guy this offseason, I don't want it to be a one-year deal again. Because you see what happens with Bobby Wagner. He plays really well, and now he might leave, or you got to give him a nice payday. Zach Ertz, same thing. It worked out, and now he might walk. If you're signing someone like Ertz, who's 34, maybe you could get away with that. But where's the 27-year-old who's a part of the four-year plan who's going to establish the culture? Like the Frankie Louvu edition. Not that he's very young, but he's younger than those other guys.
Yep.
And look, he's a building block. I want a couple more of those type of moves.
I would like that too. I guess I'm saying I may be slightly more open than you to the 32-year-old that's also got something to prove. But
the
I
rental.
See your point. Yeah, the rental. Just because, again, there's so little talent left over. I view free agency in general as the supplement, right? The mainstay, the roots of the tree, the trunk is your draft picks. I just don't think there's enough of them to do this in a hurry. And maybe that's where I'm wrong.
But you have $50+ million to spend on guys that are between 26 and 28.
Right, I'd like to major in that, and I do. That's what I want the most.
After being released by the Chargers, should the Commanders be interested in Pro Bowl edge rusher Joey Bosa? And that is our poll of the day on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account. Our poll each and every day is presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. You can go vote right now. Deebo Samuel wrote a letter to you guys, made a statement about going to the Commanders. We'll read that to you next. Plus, let's see who can make each other feel the oldest on Grant and Danny. Something that just stopped me in my tracks, got me to the point of that anxiety when you start thinking about, oh my God, how much time you have left,
mm-hmm.
and what happens at the end, and I'm like, I got to get out of this spiral that I'm in at this point. But I have challenged all of you with coming up with a sports-related anecdote or stat that will put into perspective that we're all so old now, okay, and that time is just flying by. So here's what I mean by this. This will crystallize what I'm looking for. Bryce Harper is about to start his 14th Major League Baseball season. His 14th Major League Baseball season, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this again.
Mm-hmm.
The little guy that was blowing the kisses in A-ball because he was the hot shot, the 16-year-old on the cover of SI I'm wondering about. I'm getting ready for my draft show on MLB Network Radio, and I'm talking to his coach. I think it was Tim Chambers at the College of Southern Nevada.
He hit 30 bombs, by the way, as a 16-year-old in a Woodbat junior college league.
He hit a 500-foot home run at the Trop, I think, in some showcase he
as
did.
As a teenager.
And he was like 14.
Yeah.
I think a metal bat, I'm sure, but still.
Still, that's pinging.
Bryce Harper is going to be starting his 14th season in the major leagues. We are old.
Dun, 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 dun.
Danny, what do you got?
I got two.
Okay.
I'm going to do my best. See if I've got the right tone here. As a D.C. area guy, my grandfather was in the Navy, then worked for the Center for Naval Intelligence pretty much like 99% of his career. So I was a little bit obsessed with that sort of stuff. I convinced my parents, my dad specifically, to let me get a San Antonio Spurs starter jacket Okay, I got a Spurs starter jacket a little bit before everyone else was doing the starter jacket. So I'm not saying I started the trend. I just thought it was unbelievable.
You were the first one to get a starter
jacket. Big trendsetter. Me and the rappers were doing
it. Did you work out today? We want anything like that?
I did, actually. But that's not what you asked.
I mean, you're looking for brownie points, it sounds like.
No, I'm just giving you the information.
Okay.
You can either have it or not have it.
Yes.
In honor of David Robinson's rookie year with the San Antonio Spurs. It's 36 years ago. 1989 was the year. Two years after his naval service, because they compromised. Because you owe them six, and it's like, hey, I'd be the number one overall pick here. I'm 7 foot tall. I'm incredible. Can I shorten this up? And they're like, yeah, you can do 2 years. So he did 2 years of naval service, then went to the NBA and averaged 24-12 as a rookie. And I got the starter jacket in honor of him. That's number one.
How about this one, just related to David Robinson, just looking at this?
Okay.
Tim Duncan hasn't played in the NBA in 9 seasons. That escalated quickly.
9 years?
It's been 9 years since he retired.
I would have said 5.
15-16 season was the last time Tim Duncan played.
That's tough.
What's your other one?
Iconic. A huge moment. Maybe the biggest moment in D.C. sports local stadium lore. At a place, by the way, that's been condemned for a long time, and they can't wait to tear it down. We want Dallas. We want Dallas. The whole place chanting. Fourth quarter, Minnesota Vikings, Washington, then Redskins. That's January 15th, 1983. That's 42 years ago. That's longer than you, pointing at Grant Paulson, longer than you, that's Darius, longer than Toby, and longer than Ryan have been alive. It's pretty much two Ryans. That's how long ago this was.
I'll do you one 42
better. 42 years.
42 years ago is half of a lifetime if you live to like life expectancy, basically. And a lot of people don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that many relatives, to be honest, that have lived to 84 years old. Most of them are gone before 84. But if you double how long it's been, that's an 85-year run, man.
There it is.
You had a hell of a go on this spinning rock. All right, Darius, make us feel old.
All right, so I go back to, let's say, 2000. I think I want to say it was 2001. I was in eighth grade. It was a school jersey day. Wear a jersey day, a sports jersey. And I wasn't really a big sports fan back then. My dad was, of course, heavy in sports, so he kind of got me up to speed on what I needed to know. And I chose to get a Marshall Faulk and a Michael Vick jersey for jersey day. So I ended up wearing the Vick jersey because Vick was more popular at that time. I guess Faulk was just as popular. But yeah, that was 2001. So what are we talking, 20 plus years ago?
24
now.
Years
yeah,
ago.
There we go.
Looking at Mike Vick's bio, that was his rookie year.
His rookie year, yep.
So Mike Vick, Virginia Tech, remember when they were playing
championship? Playing the Natty, yeah.
Like defensive end Corey Moore and those guys against Peter Warwick and Florida State. That was probably 28 years ago, something like that. 26, 27.
So that would have been
ago?
January of 01, wouldn't it?
Well, he was a rookie in 01. Was that his final year in college when they went to the Natty title?
Should have been, right?
So it would have been right around 2000,
yeah.
2001.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere in there. Goodness gracious.
Can you top me, Bryce Harper, starting his 14th season in the big leagues?
So I would have been 11 years old when this happened, going on 12 in a couple of months. Four months from now in 2 days, it'll be 15 years to the day that LeBron James said, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
15?
15 years. He's still averaging 25-8-8 in the league. But 15 years ago, he said he was going to Miami.
So I'm not a LeBron guy. I am a card-carrying member of not a LeBron guy. What he's doing at his age still
is insane.
An outrage.
It's insane.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now, part of his whole career has been that he's bigger and stronger and faster and just like he walked out of the lab that he was designed in, able to take over games. And there's more size to it than anything else, I think, at times. But my God, man, he doesn't slow down.
Yeah, stuff happens to people. You know what I mean? Like you go crashing into the lane enough times, somebody hits you the wrong way and you got a nagging injury. You get sore. You know what I mean? Even the guys that were built like that, I know it's actually been built like that, the tight end that got loose on the basketball court that's still got more bounce than anybody else.
David Njoku is built like that.
Yeah. But stuff happens. Not to him. He's a freak. It is remarkable. We probably don't talk enough about it.
Here's one that'll make you feel old. Heybert Ruiz hit 2 home runs on spring training on March 6, 2025. Oh, wait, that's today.
That's today.
K-Bear Ruiz just hit another home run.
K-Bear Ruiz, you guys.
Did you know he had it in him? Two-run homers for K-Bear. And don't look now, but Paul DeJong's flexing his muscles. He would have led the Nats in home runs last year. can pick it a little bit, but not a guy I'm particularly excited about playing for them every day. But he's probably going to be their third baseman. He hit a three-run bolt today.
That's their cleanup hitter. Put some respect on his name.
They got 11 runs against the Cardinals in spring training today. Locked On Clary. Make us feel old.
14 years ago from this upcoming June, Jim Riggleman quit as the Washington Nationals manager after Wilson Ramos hit a walk-off home run, which was the only game I left early from as a child.
I don't think it was a, I think it was a sack fly against the Mariners. Well, I don't think it was a walk-off homer.
I would remember it, but I actually left early for an All-Star baseball game that day. I just remember hearing the sirens as we're walking out, and I cried because it was a walk-off.
Did you actually cry?
Yeah, I actually cried.
So did you leave because your parents made you or because you wanted to?
No, it was because I had a baseball game to go to.
So it wasn't like you could yell at your mom or dad, like, you made me leave. Like,
why would you do that?
Everyone knew why you got up and left, so there's no one to be mad at. It was just... We were sad at the situation.
Yeah, and then we hear like the sirens going off. We're listening to 106.7 The Fan, and we hear that Jim Riggleman has quit.
Well, you know, you're listening to old Randy Duye. I was doing the postgame show that day, and normally the run of events of the postgame show is, welcome, let's do a little crosstalk with Dave and Charlie, and then we have a little banter, then we go to break, and we come back, and here's the manager's comments, except there's no manager's comments. And we took a break. We came back, and we talked about the game a little bit more. Took a break. Still no manager. What's going on? Sort of vamping a little bit. And then Mike Rizzo spoke. And Mike Rizzo was like, he's not coming back. He's on a bus to Caddies. And all hell broke loose.
In the words of Charlie and Dave, if you left the ballpark before Wilson Ramos delivered the game-winning sack fly, you blew it. Well, I'm glad that was the one and only time. That's a lesson learned, though. That's a good one to learn early. Jim in Spotsylvania, you're on Grant and Danny. What do you make of Joey Bosa becoming available? You interested?
No, guys, I'm not interested at all. Khalil Mack would even be more interesting, but I'm not thrilled with that either. If you want to grab somebody and you want to really invest in it, maybe the Henderson from Cincinnati or something. But I don't. You guys spotted all the injuries and everything else. This make me old thing, though, guys. You're killing me. I'm going back 1968, first time RFK, Sonny Jurgensen, wearing my number 9 jersey.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago, so sir, respectfully.
You want old? I'll do the old guys. Yeah, that's old.
Well, but in fairness, I mean, that was only, 56 years ago.
You had to do the math. Thanks.
56 years.
Thanks, Jim.
Respectfully.
Much appreciated, sir. I would actually be more interested in a one-year deal for 34-year-old Khalil Mack than a one-year deal for Joey Bosa, because I'd have more confidence that Khalil Mack, who never misses games, would play in every game. So it's not all about the age, because I'm saying I would sign the older guy before I would sign Joey Bosa. But it's okay to get younger. It's okay to add some speed and some youth and a little bit of that locker room pizzazz that you can benefit from as a veteran. All right, let's get you the statement that Deebo Samuel made about coming to Washington. We'll read that to you next. Plus, we'll dive into the receiver room on Grant and Danny.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on.
5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.